Oh, yeah, that's right. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. A very good morning to you, Namibia. How is your Wednesday morning? It's nice and cool. It's a nice and cool morning. So it has that winter kind of, vibe, if you like. Not yet there, but slowly by slowly, I think it's slowly getting there. It's slowly getting there. So, yeah, thank God you wake up and able and you are ready to face the day. Something that you should be very grateful for, that you could be on your way to work, could be at work already. And it's something that you should be grateful, because, you know, we have those, some of us or some of you, some people might be, you know, somewhere where they are not able to do that. So be grateful that you're healthy, you're well, you know, and you are doing what you're doing right now. So, and to contribute to the well-being also of this beautiful country that we call our home, the land of the brave. But a good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day on your favorite radio station, the 24/7 talk radio station. So thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Oshoveri, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we gathered here and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always asking the questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here just to unpack what others are saying and spark also a meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack with me, you know, to unpack with me in the headlines and get to the heart of the story. So thanks for joining us. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8, and I will be with you until around 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over the mic to the other side to the central part of the country, to the capital, to Tate France, coming up with Kwetha Mosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that program as well, for that show. So, all right, as usual, we go back into time. We go back into history. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, wherever you're tuning in from across this beautiful continent. So welcome to On This Day in Africa. Okay, today we are turning the pages of history back to the 15th of April. It's a date that carries some serious weight in Africa's story. And so sit back, you know, relax. And if you're driving, yeah, you could sit back as well if you're driving. And, well, let's do that. Let's go. Now, story number one today, it's a big one, you know. It's a big one for Africa. On this day in 1958, the city of Accra in Ghana played host to something that had never really happened before: the first conference of independent African states. So now, think, you know, this now, this is not where we say the first conference of independent African state. You know, think of this. This is 1958. So only 8 African nations were independent at the time. So only eight out of 50 something now. So Kwame Nkrumah, Ghana's founding father, brought those leaders together and said, in essence, you know, we may be few, but we are united. We are united. All right? Not Manchester United, but Africa united. All right? So they stood together against colonialism and pushed for something called African Freedom Day. which, as we hear in just a moment, didn't stay just an idea for long. Now, this gathering in Accra was really one of the very first bricks. It was one of the first, the very first bricks actually laid in the foundation of continental unity. So the African Union we know today, you know, you can trace its root right back to a room in Ghana on this day. All right, so which brings us to the story number two, a year later, on this exact date in 1959, African Freedom Day was officially declared. 15th of April, you know, mark that. So this wasn't just a name on a calendar, okay? It was just not a name on a calendar, it was a statement. Eh? It told the world that Africa's fight for liberation wasn't a bunch of separate, scattered struggles. It was a continental mission. Now, from Cairo to Cape Town, from Dakar to Dar es Salaam, the message was the same. Colonialism days are numbered. And over the years, this day evolved into what we now celebrate as Africa Day. On the 25th of May. Okay. So now this day actually evolved into now what we celebrate as an Africa Day on the 25th of May. I hope I'm right. Yeah, 25th of May. But it all started right here, April the 15th. All right. So let's fast forward to 1996, South Africa. Let's get to South Africa. Yeah, on this day in South Africa, on this day in 1996, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission held its first public hearing. And if you don't know what that means, let me just paint a picture for you. And actually, this was during the time I was actually studying, you know, in South Africa. And that tells you how old I am, actually. 1996. All right. After a decade of apartheid, I have been witness to that. That time, as I said, I was in South Africa by then. So after a decade of apartheid, you know, the brutal institutionalized racial segregation. It was institutionalized. My tongue is, you know. That institutionalized racial segregation that, you know, tore Africa, tore South Africa apart. Now, the country needed a way to heal. You know, not revenge, not sweeping actually things under the rug, but truth. You know, people need to come out and tell the truth, a real, raw, uncomfortable truth. So, victim of apartheid era, the victims of apartheid era violence, torture and injustice stood up in public and told their stories, and which also led to those people who come in public. There were a few that were actually later were killed, you know. So, but that's not the idea. Many for the very first time, they come out publicly, and it was painful. It was painful. It was historic. And it became a model for the world. So proof that a nation broken by its past can choose to face that past honestly and begin rebuilding together. Yeah, and finally, the year 2002, and in Burundi, let's go to Burundi, on this day in 2002, the Arusha Peace and Reconciliation Agreement was signed. Now, Burundi had been, you know, they had been caught in a brutal civil war for years. One of the Africa's longest and bloodiest civil war. So ethnic tension between Hutu and Tutsis, Tutsis communities had torn the country apart, literally torn the country apart. But on this day, leader put pen to paper and committed to to peace. So, yeah, democratic transition, power sharing, which was now, you know, between the Hutu and Tutsis, and a new beginning. It wasn't perfect. Well, was it perfect? No, no, definitely not. But, well, peace never is anyway. So, but it was the turning point, okay? A moment when the people of Burundi dared to believe that war was not their only future. So they can also be, you know, peace can be also the future. So that is your On This Day in Africa for the 15th of April. This is the story of Africa, told one day at a time. Until next time, keep the history alive. All right? And let's get to our thought for the day today. So, yeah, it's a Wednesday, April the 15th. You know, there is an old saying that goes like, it goes like this. Do not look where you fell, but where you slept. Do not look where you fell, but where you slept. Well, think about that for a moment. So when something, you know, goes wrong in life, and it will, because that's just how life works. At one point, that would happen. So our first instinct is to stay at the mess. We look at the mess, the fallout, the embarrassment, the broken pieces on the ground. That's what we do. We get fixated on where we fell, how hard, you know, how hard we hit, who saw it, you know, what it cost, you know, what cost us, how what it cost us, you know. That's where our focus are. So, but this saying is telling us something deeper, you know, something deeper. It's saying, don't just look at the result, look at the cause. And go back where you slipped. Was it a bad decision? A wrong turn? You know, a moment where you ignored that quiet voice in your gut? You know, sometimes we do that. A relationship you should have walked away from maybe sooner? A habit you kept making excuses for? So, yeah. See, the fall is just the ending of the story. Okay? The slip. All right. So I'm going to finish this after this quick commercial break. So stay with us.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. So that's you in UNAM, all right? So we're looking at our thought for the day. Do not look where you fell, but where you slipped. Now, see, the fall is just the ending of the story, okay? The slip, that's where the real, you know, lesson lives. And if you only look at the fall, you walk away with nothing but bruises and regret maybe, okay? But if you look at the slip honestly, bravely, without, you know, without you really making excuses, you walk away with wisdom. And wisdom, my friend, wisdom is the one thing nobody, you know, can take from you. So today, as you go about your business, ask yourself, where did I slip? Not to be, I mean, this is not to beat yourself up about it, but to learn from it. You know, because the person who understands their slip is the person who doesn't fall in the same place twice. That's your thought for the day. Make it count. All right. So good morning and welcome. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So you're most welcome. Our time is 17 minutes past 8. As I said, we will go until the hour of 10 o'clock. We're right at the beginning of our show. So what do we expect to discuss this morning, what we expect to unpack? this morning. So, yeah. Despite, you know, Namibia's economic expansion, expanding to, you know, something also the president said in her SONA, you know, in her SONA, so to expanding to 270 billion, the nation faces a critical turning point as rising budget pressures and slow job creations demand an urgent structural reform and economic diversification. So I think that's an area. We're reflecting on certain issues that, you know, coming from SONA, and we look at that, especially, you know, the rising budget pressures and slow job creation demand, which actually require a structural reform and economic diversification. So that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to get into. Yesterday I was watching the BBC, and there was this study of the International Monetary Fund. The International Monetary Fund has warned that the global economy faces a significant risk of recession if the conflict involving Iran persist and continue to drive up energy and food prices. So, yes, that's a very, very, very significant, you know, development or warning. We're going to look at that if we still have also time from the first item as well. And you know what? Your participation always, okay, as expected, you know, your participation will also be part of the show. So that's what we installed for you. Definitely very interesting. Make sure that you stay tuned and you impact that with me. After this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, a 207 billion economy, but the question is, who is eating? Who is eating? Good morning. Good morning, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Now, Namibia's economy has grown to 207 billion. Okay? That's a big number. It's a big number, really. 207 billion, you know. So, and $8 billion more than 5 years ago. So when you look at when you compare it, then compared to 5 years ago, it's about $8 billion more than 5 years ago. So the president herself in a parliament last week told the nation, "We are growing." So we are growing. You remember what I was, you know, I was jumping, you know, last week I was jumping and said, "We are rich, we are rich." Eh? So, but I realized, we are rich. And I, you know, I don't feel that in my pocket, you know. So I don't feel that in my pocket, you know. Last week, the president told the nation we are growing. And that's a fact, you know. That's also a fact. It's not just the president saying something that is not true. That's a fact. Yeah, the tax revenues are up. The foundation is solid, you know. But here's the thing then, my dear listener. And this is where your favorite analyst, you know, has to be honest with you, okay? This is where we have to be honest, okay? So a bigger economy does not mean a better life for everyone. It should be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So a bigger economy does not necessarily, maybe you put necessarily, mean a better life for everyone. Okay, that it doesn't sound right. Let me say that again in a different way. Now, growth without jobs is just a number on paper. All right? If you have a growth, that just, you know, see the number on that. Without really jobs, without, my boss would actually say it, you know, job creation is not wealth, you know. Without domestic wealth, I would say, without individual creating wealth, it's just a number on paper, you know. So this morning, let's unpack that. Let's interrogate it. And we ask questions, you know. Yeah? Now, relax. Grab your tea, you know, sit down. If you're driving, sit well, you know. Let's talk, okay? Let's talk. Let's interrogate. Let's analyze. Okay, that's what we do here. So, but first of all, let me give you a picture. Okay, let me pull you in, you know, where we are. So let me just first paint the picture for you. Now, 5 years ago, our economy set at roughly 190 billion, okay? 190 billion. Today, it is 270 billion. And that's a real growth, okay? That is a real, real growth. We have to acknowledge that. The president noted that, you know, the tax revenue jumped from 55 billion to 76 billion in the same period. All right? So the tax to GDP ratio sit at about, you know, 30.5%. Eh? The tax to GDP ratio sit at 30.5%. And independent data actually, so where some of the independent data put it even higher, around 33%. Now, that is the highest on the African continent. And this is actually second year running. That's second year running now. So that is actually the highest on the continent, on the African continent. Yes, seriously. Yeah? Higher than South Africa. South Africa is at 26%. Higher than Botswana. I'm looking at the region. Higher than Botswana. Botswana is at 22%. So way above the global average. You know, we're also way above the global average of 13 to 14%. So that's a real growth. As I said, that is a real, real, real growth. Now, I won't put up a but. Now, on the surface, okay, that sounds like, you know, government is doing something right. More revenue, more money in the coffer, you know, in the kitty, you know, there's more money in the kitty now. And more to spend, of course. It's now we have more to spend, isn't it? Now, but here's where now the story actually turns. Here's where it turns, my friend, and it turns sharply. Okay? So we're making more money, all right? We're growing, and we're really growing. The country that is growing faster in terms of that, on economic growth on the continent, you know. And now, the thing is now, I think there's a tension, okay? And I want you really to look at this closely. So there's a tension, money coming in and money flying out faster. There's money coming in, but we have actually money coming out, you know, going out, flying out faster. Now, because while we are collecting more taxes than almost any country in Africa, okay, We are the one collecting more taxes than any country. Okay? Than any country in Africa. We are also spending faster than we are collecting. You see that? So it's like, you know, it's like that, you know, you're working and your salary, let's say for example your salary is improving, but the people you feed, how much you spend for the people that maybe you're feeding, they are growing more than what you're getting. You know, just trying to give an example. So as much as that we are collecting more taxes than anyone on the continent, we are also spending faster than we are collecting. And that's a problem. That's what now, you know, when they talk about the fiscal deficit, that's the gap. So that's now the gap between what the government is earning and what it spends. So it was supposed to be around, okay? That was now supposed to be around 4.6% of GDP. Supposed to be about 4.6. You know, people do this forecasting and all that. But the latest projection, you know, it has increased to 6% of the GDP. That's between 15.8 billion and 20.1 billion in the whole, in that gap, you know, that gap between government earning and what it spends. So that whole. So now, in that revenue, when you look at that revenue forecast for this year, and the revenue forecast for this year was already revised downward. Okay, it was already revised downward from 92.6 billion to 89.4 billion. So by mid-year, only, imagine, by mid-year, only 41% of the revised target have been collected. Normally, what do you do? Normally, you want to be at 50% by halftime. You know, by halftime, you want to be at 50%. We were not even close. We were not even close. We're 41% by mid-year. Okay? So now, what does that mean for you and for me?
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Import? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So my question was, what does that mean actually for because what we're looking at here is how this growth impacts us, you and I, right on the ground, okay? So, but you have to factor in other issues as well, you know, which mean it means public debt is climbing. It's now projected to hit 177 billion. You know, that's roughly 60% of our GDP. All right? So we're getting close to the red zone. 60% of our GDP. And analysts are warning. They are warning, the analysts are economic analysts, you know, they are warning that if we don't correct course, if we don't change the way we're spending, that number could actually drift towards 65% to 70% over the medium term. Now, over the medium term. And once you get to 65 to 70%, you are now in the red zone. Absolutely in the red zone. So we need to change. We need to correct. We need to correct the course we are on. Okay, we need to change the course we are on. Okay, and let's put that into perspective. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, so imagine your your household earn 10,000 a month. You earn 10,000 a month, but you owe, and you owe 6,000 at the bank. You earn 10,000 and you owe the bank 6,000. Okay? And every month now you are borrowing more. What are you borrowing? You're borrowing more now just to keep the, you know, to keep your light on, you know, pay your school fees or whatever the case, or put your food on the table. So because you can't afford, you know, your expenses are more. So then you go and borrow again. To actually, when you're borrowing actually, you know, to keep the whole, to keep the household running. You're not borrowing to do something that would create revenue in the future, that create income for you. You know, you're borrowing just to keep the lights on, you know, and put the food on the table. That is where we are as a country. Now, so now think about that now. If we found ourselves in the, if this is where we are, now ask yourself if you really love this country. No, ask yourself really if you love this country, is this sustainable? Is this sustainable? Otherwise, you know, you're putting the future of your children in jeopardy. The burden you actually, you know, you're putting out on your children. We're putting on our children. We're putting on our children. Is this sustainable? Ask yourself. And this is something that, I don't know whether majority of our parliament, members really understand this, you know, and really question. They are the one who analyze this. But when you look at that, you think, how long are we going to do? How long are we going to do this? How long are we going to go on like this? You know, as I said, we're borrowing. You know, we're borrowing to keep the lights on. We're borrowing to put food on the table as a country. Yeah? Now, someone told me this, okay, that we are rich underground and poor above ground. And that's a mining paradox. Okay? So, now here's the president herself, ne? President herself acknowledged that our economy is heavily dependent on mining and primary sector industries. So, and look, you know, mining is a powerful house. It's a powerhouse, you know. Mining is the powerhouse in Namibia. So, even if you look at the 2025-2026 financial year, it generated 64.7 billion in export earnings. You know, 64.7 billion in export earning and 1.4 billion in royalties. So that's a powerhouse. That's where we depend. So we're depending on mining. All right. Where does that take us? But, and I need you to sit with this number. I need you to sit with this number, my dear listeners. Now that mining created only 580 jobs. 580. Okay, let me say that slowly. 64.7 billion in earnings. 580 jobs. So that is the paradox of our economy. That's the issue. That's the paradox of our economy. The mines are, you know, what are the word that I use now? The mines are booming, okay? Uranium and gold have overtaken the diamond as the big earners, okay? Especially with now lab-grown diamond, you know, the lab-grown diamond putting pressure on the natural stone, you know, the stone market. So Namibia even signed the Luanda. We just signed in 2026, the Luanda Accord, you know, at the 2026 mining in Daba, you know, to try and protect the, our diamond industry. All right? So, but the question remains. The question is that who benefit from this, you know, from this prosperous, from this favorable condition, if you like, a favorable economic condition that we are in today? Who is benefiting? So if you, there's this extract magazines that look actually mining, you know, reported that less than 10% of Namibia's mineral export are processed domestically. Less than 10% of Namibia's mineral export are processed domestically. All right? So, you know, in marketing what they use, you know, I'm putting this to soften the blow. I could have said 90% of Namibian mineral export are processed outside. You know, and that would, what? Yeah, but that's the case. I'm putting this in this way, you know, to soften the blow. Okay? So less than 10%, let's put it that way, of Namibian mineral export are processed domestically. So the other way, you know, if you put it the other way, it's also true that 90% of Namibian mineral export are processed outside. So most of our, you know, iron ores leave the country for, we know that. Unrefined, you know, we export the wealth. So in that way, we are exporting the wealth. Remember that, you know, we only, this is how we export the wealth. And someone else in another country turns into, you know, into a finished good, create, and then that's how they create jobs in those country. Keep the profit. We can see where's the problem in our country. So we can see where's the problems. And we keep talking about it. Diversification, beneficiation, local content, value addition. Yeah? We keep, you know, the government own goal, our own goal. Okay? Our government own goal is to raise processed mineral export. Now, it was supposed to be 46%, now to 57% by 2030. We are currently nowhere near the target. Okay? Nowhere near the target at all. We are not. So now, yes, there are 15, the president the other time talked about that there are 15 new mining projects worth of 63.5 billion in the pipeline. That's exciting. Okay? That's exciting. Hopefully, what happened to our 51 ownership, you know, 51 ownership policy? So we don't talk about that anymore. I think it gone with Ithete, because it was Ithete who was talking about that. I think that idea gone with Ithete, you know. When Ithete gone, I think nobody talks about it anymore. Yeah, so there are 15 new mining from the president, as the president had mentioned, 15 new mining project worth of 63.5 billion in the pipeline. So one of that he mentioned, the Asino Gold, Bannerman, Etango running. So, and those project, you know, those project promised over 24,000 jobs. And that's encouraging. That's definitely encouraging. But, you know, there's one thing that we have learned to understand in Namibia. That promises and deliverance, I'm not talking about deliverance, okay? Like you go to church and be delivered. Promises and delivery are two different currencies in Namibia. You know, those are two different currencies in Namibia. When it comes, promises are made, a lot of promises that are made. And we don't turn back and say, oh, I made that promise and I haven't delivered. You know, we just go on with another promise. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We don't end up doing it. And we just come and tell, we're Namibian. We don't even pay attention. We get excited, you know. You know that we get excited when we are told this is what's going to happen. And we go, oh, yeah. You know, but you don't even think. You look at the budget. Sometimes you don't even look at the budget. You just say, yeah. And to kind of like, you don't even look at how much is the budget. You know, how much is in your development pot. So, and, you know, if it was an organization, we are bankrupt. Because what you owe, how much you owe is more than what you earn. You're bankrupt. So you're just running on the cash flow that's coming in. But overall, what you owe is more than what you you earn. That's bankruptcy. So, yeah. Now, the other issue, and this brings us now to the, I think, to the, what do they say? To the elephant that nobody in the parliament, I think, nobody in the parliament chamber wants to stay in the eye. You know, do you know what that elephant is? The elephant that nobody wants to stare that in the eye. Unemployment. Unemployment. The ILO, you know, the ILO's modeled estimate put our overall unemployment at about 19.3, you know, but the Namibian Statistics Agency own labor force survey, you know, using the broader definition that count people who have given up looking also, you know, pegs it at 36.9% as of 2023. Okay, that's why we had nearly. That's nearly when you put that against the populations. You nearly 4 out of 10 working age Namibian cannot find job. All right, so 4 out of working age Namibians cannot find jobs. And it was for the young people, it's different. The ones who were told go to school, you know, and it becoming a little bit hard for becoming less motivation, you know, maybe to the young people. Well, I would still say get your, you know, it's better having it than not having it. So they were told go to school, get your degree, the future is bright. That's what we told. You know, now you're actually afraid to say the future is bright to any young person in this country. You're afraid to say the future is bright. Go to school, the future is bright. You know, education is the key. Is it the key? You know? So, but I still say it's better you have it than you don't. Okay? So, it's still bright. The future is still bright. Okay? Hopefully. There's still a lot of things that are happening. Depending on what we do. It's all depending on what we do. So for the youth unemployment sit at 46.1 according to that trading economic data. So almost half of Namibian young people are sitting at home. In some countries, to tell you the truth, in some countries that's a crisis. Do you know how we get used to, you know one thing, eh? And this is a typical human behavior. All right, it's a typical human behavior. No, you know that you can get used to poverty and get used to other people eating. You remember at the beginning, as I asked, who is eating? You know, you can get used to poverty and come to acknowledge that maybe that's your status, and you know, and also get used to other people eating and come to believe that maybe you don't deserve that. It can happen. Yeah, it can happen. And get comfortable with what you get, you know, with the little you get, you know. A bit here just here for you to make you happy, and then you can get used to that. And And most of the Namibian, that's where they are. They get used to, you know, to that. And then they lost the guile to fight. Yeah? They lost that energy to, you know, to fight. All right? I'm not talking fight, you know, where you get up a gun and, you know, and blow someone's head. No, I'm talking about really fighting for your, for what is rightful, what is rightfully yours, you know? Yeah, as I said, half of Namibian young people are sitting at home. Now, let's connect the dot now. Let's connect the dot for you, all right? Maybe something that you never thought about. The economy grew by 80 billion. Came from 5 years. Okay, it grew by 80 billion. And mining earned 64 billion. But our unemployment number have barely moved. Do you understand? So we earn much. As I said, we grow. We are the, our mining earned like 64 billion, but our unemployment number didn't move. As a matter of fact, actually, you know, it goes down. The NSA itself confirmed that growth is uneven across sectors with limited job creation. So, and there is an article in ERA that actually deal with this in the new ERA. Used a brilliant analogy. It's actually used a brilliant analogy. It's like a business increasing its turnover, you know, it increasing its turnover without actually hiring more staff. So revenue rises, but the benefit don't spread. Revenues actually rises, but the benefit don't spread. Who is eating? That's my question. Only selected few. So the benefit don't spread wide. Okay? So now I ask you, is this growth? Now, in your understanding, is this growth? Is this an illusion of growth? Is it growth? Or is it an illusion of growth? Now, let me be fair, okay? I'm going to be fair. Let me be balanced. So government is not sitting entirely on its hands. Not like it's sitting entirely on its hands. No, the president has spoken about developing a mineral beneficiation policy. You know, there is a talk of reviewing the Prospecting and Mining Act. A law from 1992, you know, imagine my friend, you know, from 1992. So that's 34 years old. So probably before many of you listening also this morning were even born, you know, there could be some of you listening were not even born by that time. Now, a study on critical mineral is underway. Those are some of the things that we hear. There are plans for special economic zones and industrial corridors. Yeah, so there's something happening. You know, there is something. It's not that the government is sitting just, you know, watching. You know, you're doing something. So, but here what keeps, you know, tripping us. So there is something, you know, there is something that is happening, but there's still something that keep tripping us down. Keep, you know, every time that we're trying to move forward, and those are things that we need to look at, and those are things that highlight by the Minister of Finance, by the President as well, you know. So, yeah, those are things that has been by IMF. That's also another thing that, you know, when they did the, what is that, Article 4 mission, you know, for to Namibia, Yeah, there were a couple of things that have been highlighted in that, you know. But these are also things that the president herself and our finance minister sometimes highlight as well when it comes to, you know, what we need to do to improve the situation, or things that are keeps tripping us, you know. It's like we go up a branch up, and then we cut that branch. So now those things that are keep actually tripping us, it's capacity gap. One of the area is capacity gap. We don't have enough, you know, how do you call this person? You have metalugust. How do they call it? Metalugust. Do you know even what a metalugust is? The process engineers and industrial chemistries, these people, to run, now when we're talking about beneficiation, to run now the beneficiation plant, for example, you know, we train geologists, yes, mining engineers, but people who can actually add value to our minerals. People, you know, who can add value to our minerals. We don't have enough of them. We don't have enough of them. Capacity gaps, it's one of the problems. But, and sometimes, this is also an issue when we have all this project coming in. Are we ready? Even when you say, you can also say, no, we need to employ Namibian, even you hint to, we need, when you talk about local content as well, we have to use Namibian company, Namibian equipment, whatever the case may be. Do we have those stuff? The capacity gap is an issue. Is an issue identified? And do we have a plan now to fill that gap? Do we have a plan? So policy document, we also have reform delays. That's also mentioned somewhere. I'm just bringing it up here. Reform delays. Now, policy document that are really, really just gathering, you know, dust. You know, let me give you an example. The mineral beneficiation strategy. When was it actually drafted? Do you have an idea? When was it drafted? The mineral beneficiation strategy, since we are focusing on this, when was drafted? It was drafted in 2021. It is 2026. Where are we with that? This is 2026, my friend. And given these guys that are more arguing on procedural in the parliament, and last year, how many bills that they passed? Only two. Which actually a financial budget. It was only the financial budget that they passed. Other bills, nothing. So there is that delay of reform. We're not fast enough actually to reform. And the third thing, the things that had been highlighted that we need to look at, that we need to reform and, you know, that we need to change, infrastructure. So if you look at, say, for example, let's take for example, electricity tariff. Our electricity tariff are among the highest in the region. Now, let's say, for example, now you want to build a smelter. The one in Sumer, you want to build a smelter. Good luck, you know, powering it affordably. That's the problem. Good luck for you, powering it affordably. And sometimes these things turn away the investors. It's expensive to run it. It's just expensive to powering it, you know, affordably. So infrastructure, it's one of the issue. So digital system and institutional delay, you know, those are also other issues where now you have We are very good, and this is the thing, you know, we're very good at attracting investors. But the problem is that we're so bad in for doing business in terms of now, you know, things people that need to go into to have, even the, last night, if you listen to the president last night on the news, you know, permits take forever. And the president even talk about that, you know, we're not speeding up things to get things done. You know, permit take forever, environmental clearance drags on, you know, and investors get frustrated and take their money elsewhere. Right? And this is, the problem is here, you have people who are actually doing their very best. The NIPDB of this world, maybe the Foreign Affairs Ministry, the president goes out and, you know, invite business to come in. But those now responsible to actually register this business and actually have this business, they're not doing their job. Institutional delays. So those are some of the things. The Bank of Namibia has been sounding the alarm too. They also have been warning about that. The repo rate is sitting at 6.5%. Held steady because the central bank is trying to balance growth with price stability. So now inflation has actually come down. When you look at inflation, it actually came down. It is at 2.1. You know, as of March 2026, down from 4.2 in a year ago. So that's the lowest since July 2020. Now, so inflation is under control. Interest rates are stable. But the central bank has been very, 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 very clear. Growth is holding, okay? But it is not yet resilient. It is not yet resilient. Now, one global commodity shock, for example, you know, if there's just one global commodity shock, one crash in Iran, say for example, one crash in a crash in uranium prices, you know, one downturn in China's demand, for example, you know, and we are exposed. We are exposed. We screwed. Okay, that's how vulnerable we are. Okay? That's how vulnerable we are. So maybe the question we should be asking, what kind of economy are we building? Okay? What kind of economy are we building? You're most welcome to food. You're also welcome now to come through. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. We're coming to you live and direct from the Ondangwa studio in the mighty region of Oshana. So, yeah. So what is your reaction? Okay. What is your take on what we, you know, some of the things that we discussed so far? So come through as well and have your say. All right. Some of you are economic people and understand things better and talk to us. And also you can react to my discussion that I had with Link yesterday, Frederico Link yesterday, so because we couldn't have enough time, you know, there are a couple of things that also fit into what some of the things that we're mentioning here. So if you want to add, if you want to actually react to that as well, if you remember some of the things that we discussed yesterday, so with Mr. Link, you can come through as well. So, yeah, and what kind of economy are we building? And my friend, that and is, this is the crux of today's conversation. That's the crux of today's conversation. That's the core of really what we're discussing. It's not about whether, you know, it's not about whether the economy is growing. It is growing. All right? It is growing. The number don't lie. I keep saying that, you know. The number don't lie. The question is, what kind of growth is this?
A very good morning to you. Welcome to our packing today.
Yes, Big Mike.
Yes, Meneer.
How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm okay, my brother.
Mm.
Yeah, Mike, let me start first of all what we discussed yesterday with Master Rin.
Yeah.
You know, ne, when it comes to hand picks.
Yeah, so it was we're talking about
I think for me sometimes what the government does is good because that money
is
not getting it, but if there must be transparent, it will be better. But if you like the way we used to know some of those companies which are not even been recorded when it comes to finance, how they spend their money, especially I'm talking about August 26th. It's the one who mess up a lot in our government. And if they are not, if they are continuing that way, then we are pumping a lot of money on them. Because sometimes we wonder even, because they are led of a red flag which already showing when it comes to how many fuel they get, it's about all the leading, 14 readings. Sometimes I'm thinking of why we never even just complete a free stadium, which can be what you, approved by FIFA. Even free stadium, because we're already struggling. We have two. Some you mean the independence, which we're already struggling in the independence of Oshagati.
Yeah.
They are four, ex-wars. I think they're free. Because it's Oshagati independence, and we have some new one, and we have independence itself.
Oshagati, is it a level of FIFA?
I'm not sure
it's a level of FIFA.
No, it's not even there. But
no,
the way they
not.
Are saying, it's like they want to upgrade to that level.
Yeah,
but how long has it been? To be upgraded to that level of FIFA? And remember one thing also, we need to even complete the Nana one.
Yeah,
there's a Nana was going to be established, but up to now, nothing happening in Wangwena. And now, sometimes it's what I'm saying. Sometimes I think it's a good initiative which you are trying, but at the end of the day.
But what about you're also looking at what about fairness? What about competitiveness? You know, because this is what. This is what all about, you know. Because there could be other local companies as well, and enterprise government and other government enterprises maybe that were interested. And the other question that he was asking is that how are you showing that you get value for money by just handpicking somebody, you know?
It's what I'm saying. We have a red flag when it comes to Namibia construction.
Yeah.
I mean, not Namibia construction. Sorry. Well, you see where I'm missing up the things. And August 26th.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, up to now, they're involved in what? Fish lot, but nobody's talking about them.
Yeah. And the other thing, how do you come to that decision anyway? You know, you talked about transparency. How do you come to that decision to pick that company?
We already have a lot of controversy around them.
Road authority or whatever, which one is taken, it's having financial issues. Is this a way of actually now pumping money into that? And would that guarantee you quality work? those are issues.
I think we are stepping in the dangerous ground. Because sometimes, you have a good initiative, but it's very questionable at the end of the day. Because what we know, we went through already those, and something which we don't want to repeat as a country.
Yeah, the
and
questions.
As a citizen, we have to question.
Yeah, no, the questions and the questions that we ask is because we have been there. we know where we are, how far we have gone, you know. So that's the thing, you know.
Mm.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, which I know, there's a lot of red flags when it comes to those issues. And today we are talking about the economy.
But it's also a precedence that you're setting, You know what? There's a lot of things that actually then you're saying without saying them. You know, without saying loud, because you're saying, I'm also not trusting my system.
Yeah. You see?
You know, there are bigger issues than just handpicking somebody, because you're also saying, I'm not trusting my system. The system that I'm putting up, I'm not trusting it. You know?
And the funny thing, is when you look at this, like road authorities,
I think road contract, yeah. Yeah.
The road contract.
Road
contract is the one who is even, you remember, they used to get tenders like a bridge and what, and then they're giving it away. But for themselves, I don't think even they have enough capacity of when it comes to workmen.
No, that's why for Ondangwa here, the one of the, what is this, this constituency? They are giving it to, last time I read it here, it was to Emirates. You know, it was given to another Emirates to do the construction and all that. It was not them who was doing it. Yeah, they subcontracted it.
Yeah, you see, subcontracted. And those are individual friends. I'm telling you, you may have Mike who is able to do the job properly.
Yeah.
You know why I'm saying so, Mike? Because if you look, we have Namibia Construction here. I don't know what the other name they used to call. But this is come, that is come long way. Even the job what they are doing, if you look, this Monte Cristo Road, they've done it already.
Yeah.
And yet, they are not giving a big project. And remember, there's a company which are paying Namibians comparing to even the Chinese. People are able to buy even a car in those companies who are working there. But I'm telling you, go to Chinese now. You can even be whatever you come from, which is. You never get a salary which you're able to buy something. Not even a best car.
Yeah.
From the Chinese firm. But the problem I think here is what, when you give it to Namibia contract, they support already to recruit a lot of people under them. So they cannot, you cannot be given a contract and then you give it to somebody else. That is what I'm telling you, it's a contract of the government.
Yeah. And the other thing is this, and which something I don't understand, then why wouldn't just, if you give it directly to, if subcontracting somebody to do it, why wouldn't actually that person compete? That's the competition that we're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why wouldn't just that person actually
Why would you advertise? Why don't advertise so everybody can come on board? Then you pick the one who is
If you're giving to someone to subcontract somebody again, you know, why that person could actually directly just, you know, compete for that project?
Yeah? It's what I'm telling you, which in Namibia we try if that, but the thing which we do things in it, it's like we are not even doing it undercover anymore. We are doing it open.
Do you remember?
Not tell me that's a corruption.
If you're listening, do you know what I said? That we sometimes we get used to poverty. You know?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You
then we think we just normal.
Yeah. You get used to poverty, and you let other people eat, and they think that's normal for them. It's okay for me to be where I am. So we get used to how we get used to how things are done, and we never question, and we kind of like, it's okay, you know, it's government.
Yeah, they're entitled to that.
Yeah.
But it's not like that.
Not
at all.
And even when looking at that, we actually, everyone, I think, which I believe the government want to do the same, everyone want the best of our country.
Very much.
Everyone, you know, even the person who is asking questions, you want the best of our country. And you must be listened to as well. You know, that's the thing, you must be listened to. Because you are the one who should be listened to, rather than someone who is singing praise. Okay, you know, because you're bringing something different that, okay, let's pay attention to this. Maybe we haven't paid attention to this from previous experience. How about we looking at that now?
How about now? Yeah. Because now if you're allowing this thing to happen, it will be, then I'm telling you, it's continuing. That is the problem. And we are, since then, we're allowing this thing to happen on the front of our face.
Yeah, I know. There are so many of us that are hungry, and we wouldn't allow much of transparency. Transparency exposes us. So, transparency exposes us, and many of us want, we go there to eat. You know,
yeah, but and, for yeah. me, Mike, it doesn't make sense that for you to give a hand-picked a company. At the end of that day, the company also hand-picking another company.
Yeah.
This is your, as you are an anti-corruption representative, you're supposed to ready to move in. Because this it's not really a mixed economy which you are talking about. A mixed economy, the people are supposed to compete.
Yeah.
Why should do somebody, all of us, we want to survive? We put up our companies to make a profit, isn't it?
Mm.
Not everybody was just making a company for what? For pride, or just to be there because of a status. No!
But it's also you look at companies that have no reputation at all. You know, the RCC,
exactly.
You're looking at that. What have they done? What is their track record, really? You know,
yeah.
If it was some company who said, look, okay, the track record of that company is really good, you know, yeah, then you say, okay, that's fair. You know, we are in, and like what Link yesterday, this is not emergency. These plans were in other administration. It's not like this is emergency that we need to actually have.
The thing we're supposed to deal with, my friend, is about even like a housing issue. That one is supposed to be a priority of the government first.
Yeah.
Because how many people are in the list? How long have they been there? Some women, they are retiring without even getting a house.
Yeah.
Some are having even 2 years or 3 years, but they've been in that list for so long, waiting for the house.
Oh, no, people, how are you going to pay that house anymore?
That, Mike, is supposed to be a priority of the government first. But now, you are there, giving, who say we need all the soccer field that? Who's going to pay it?
It's needed. But the whole question is, it's needed, but the whole question,
what do you do when it comes to sport? It's the near word.
Yeah.
Whether they can keep the young people to be interested in the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm telling you, just imagine. Now, I'm telling you, the Namibian will be bringing people all together. It's Nedbank now. Nedbank Cup. Then it's just once a year. What about if we have something which is continuous? Maybe we ask even Coca to get involved.
Yeah.
All Namibian brewery. Yeah? Then it should be continuous thing where even those youth, we turn them in the reef, like Wangwena, they are facing what, going to face colors and what, but it will be like a reef base.
Mm.
Instead of once a year. Because remember one thing that I'm telling you, which, up to now, other countries are competing like under 17 is going to World Cup, yeah. Under 20 is going to World Cup. But in Namibia, we only have Namibia national team.
Yeah, like in the Coca-Cola that you mentioned, at one point, the Coca-Cola that you mentioned, it was actually sponsoring in South Africa the school soccer, you know.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, the
even
school
Namibia, they
soccer.
Used to do it.
Yeah, so
because me, we are playing for Ponef that time. We used to even to compete with. We even end up to go to Gobabs at that time, which you never come to this side of the rail drive. But now, even Metropolitan was there. There was a cup for Metropolitan. I don't remember. We used to play a lot of cups, and it was a sponsor for like a school team. Where you are competing, if you qualify, you are going to compete with those teams which are qualifiers on the other side.
Yeah, and the competition was really good. And this is where also play, when they leave the school, they go and play in the national team, they get to the club, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a grassroots, But now, if you, how can you just have a national team, but you don't have a grassroots?
Yeah.
This is the problem I think we are building up, and that's what I'm saying, our government, they do things in, like, they are doing it separately, but they know what, the people who are on top, they know what they are doing, the scheme of eating money. Because you cannot tell me, we are struggling already to rehabilitate those soccer fields with IMS and Samnium and the Independence, but yet you come out, we are building 14. How many is the soccer field you cost? If you are talking about 10 million, which we are giving it to each region.
Yeah. The question is, does it really, if you would, maybe, like as you said, on a regional level, we have a stadium already that are in dilapidated situations. Yeah. What about really, you know, improving that first? It's a whole question of priorities. What about improving that to put them at a standard, really at a level standard, where they, where it becomes even in a place and a venue of business? You understand? Many events take place there, you know, and all that. Yeah. And in the future, then you're also looking in terms of constituency. Then how do we then, you know, bringing it constituency. Slowly by slowly, because now it doesn't make much of a difference.
At the end of the day, we are not going to have even record how they use it. Yeah. Because some of them, they will never even come to the water stands. Like now, we have a Nana, which I will give you an example. Now we are thinking about it to go and construct the new one at the Ongenga. I understand because the distance also may be playing a role when it comes to Angwena. But at the end of the day, complete the one in Wanana.
Mm.
We are talking about even a socket to qualify for CAF. Now, we are not even in a hurry to finish the Nana one. Now, remember, we are going to give the money to Oshana because we are going to play it what? Either Independence. Or they are going to play Tembando.
Yeah.
But yet we are not doing anything. How long is it going
to take? And you think of Tembando, if you look at Tembando, there was so much, always money goes into that. But you look at Tembando, the way it looks, nothing really happened.
Nothing much changed, exactly.
And for years, there's money going into there. You know, I even recently was there, and there's nothing really, you kind of like, I was looking and said, you know. Why, with this money now, why wouldn't just that money, you know, used and really improve this whole stadium here, you know? So nothing happened, yeah.
Nothing much.
Okay. It has been a while, man. Let's see if others can come through as well. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, when the Wokubo topic on Nama is fine.
It's all right. You can come later. Right. Not many other people coming through, okay?
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm. Our 333-66091. Our 333-66091. You can come through and have your reaction to even yesterday's discussion with Mr. Link. All right. I was asking what kind of economy are we building? And definitely, as I said, we acknowledge that So it's not about whether the economy is growing, because it is growing, you know. And the question is, what kind of growth is it? Okay? Is it a growth that put food on the table? You know? Is it a growth that gives your child a job after UNAM or NAST? Is that kind of a growth that give a job to your child after UNAM or NAST? Is it a growth that build a factory in Oshakati, a processing plant in Tsumebo, you know? Is that the growth? Is that the growth that we see? Or is it a growth that looks good in a state of nation address, but it doesn't change the daily reality of the Ama, you know, who sells, you know, Kapana at the open market? So we can only hear from the SONA, the growth, or from the minister in the parliament. You know, the minister say this is the growth that we have made, but does the meme Selo Kapana at the open market feel that? Even actually now, going buy meat is even more expensive than. But we talk about that's a growth. What does that mean actually? And what kind of growth is this then? The IMF, something as I mentioned earlier on, completed its 2026 Article 4 mission to Namibia just last month. And their message was really blunt. Okay? Their message was very blunt. Growth slowed to 1.7% in 2025. It slowed to 1.7%.
and they are urging Namibia to speed up reform. Okay? Not tomorrow, not the next NDP. So it shouldn't be in the next NDP, that NDP cycle that we have. Now, the reform should actually come now. That's what they say. You know, we need to change the course. On the course we are now, things are not right. Okay? So in terms of, you know, the 2027, our 2026, 2027 national budget was tabled at 87.9 billion. On that, a massive 61.7. And that, when we say about 61.7, that's about 54.3 billion. Where does that money goes? It goes to social services, which is right. Social service, which is education, health, social grant, all those, you know, those are essential. They are very, very, very essentials. Nobody's arguing we shouldn't fund schools and clinic. All right? Nobody. But here's the uncomfortable reality or uncomfortable questions that we should ask. How much of that budget is investment? How much is just keeping the lines on? If most of our money goes to salaries, you know, recurrent costs and debt servicing, what's left to actually, now, and this is where now sometimes, you know, you ask yourself, there's no money. What is left to actually build the economy of tomorrow? What is left to actually build the economy of tomorrow? What is left for beneficiation plant? Those digital systems that we talk about, what is left? All right, you can come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. The time is 25 minutes past the hour of 9. So we go up to 10. Yeah, five things maybe from this discussion. One, our economy is 270 billion. It is growing. It has grown. That's a fact. But growth without jobs creation, growth without job creation is a growth that leaves people behind. It's a growth that leaves people behind. Okay? So who is eating? That's why my question, who is eating if this is a growth? All right? So number two, we have the highest tax to GDP ratio in Africa. The government is collecting more than almost any country on the continent. But spending is outpacing revenue. That's the issue. Our spending is outpacing, you know, revenue. The deficit is widening to 6% of GDP. And also, debt is climbing to 60%. So the money we're making, we eat it up quickly. You know, if there are other things already that eat that up, the interest rate, you know, on the debt itself, you know, the, so those are the issues. Number three, from what we have also looking at, mining is our golden goose. Okay. It's our golden goose with golden eggs. So, and if you can see that, you can see that, 64.7 billion, you know, 64.7 in export earnings. Yeah. So, but if you look at that, 64.7 billion in export earning and only 580 jobs. Yeah. It's capital intensive, not labor intensive. That tells you the goose is laying eggs. You can see that the goose is laying eggs, but only few people are eating. Only few people are eating. And the other thing, it's unemployment, especially youth unemployment at 46%. In some country, as they said, that's a crisis. It's a ticking bomb. It's a ticking time bomb. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful. If we don't change course, you know, at one point they will rise. They will rise. You know, if we don't fix the structural issues, skill shortages, reform delays that we talked about, infrastructure gaps that we talked about, no amount of GDP growth will save us. Believe me, this GDP growth, no amount of that would save us. All right? So, and yeah, and the window is closing. The window is closed now. The window, no, I'm joking. The window is not closed, all right? The window is not closed. There are opportunities. Okay? Uranium is, you know, it's booming. Gold is strong, you know. Critical minerals are in global demand. Yeah, but seriously, but Namibia must move from exporting raw rocks. Yeah, the rocks that we are exporting, we must move away from, you know, from that to manufacturing refined product. Okay, from policy paper to factory floors. That's what we should do. All right, welcome back. As I was saying that the window is not closed. The window is not closed. There are still opportunities, you know. Maybe we just need to grab those opportunities because there are. Uranium, as I said, uranium is it's in a very good condition at the moment. It's booming, you know. Gold is it's strong. We're talking about critical mineral. You remember that we were talking about the one that had been discovered at Uis as well. So those and critical minerals are in a global demand. They are in absolutely global demand, you know. But Namibia must, you know, we must move from, you know, from exporting. We shouldn't be just talking about beneficiation and value additions. You know, we must see. We must really start to see that happening. You know, the president say The president says government remain dedicated to building a resilient, resilient, inclusive, future-ready economy. That's what the president said. Those are good words. Those are really, really, really good words. But Namibia doesn't need, you know, it doesn't need more words. It doesn't need more words right now. You know, it doesn't. We don't need more words now anymore. We need, Namibia need action. Action. And it needed yesterday, actually, not now. It needed yesterday. So now, do you feel, you know, tell me, do you feel this 270 billion economy in your pocket? Do you feel that in your pocket? That's what I want to know. Do you feel that in your pocket? Let's debate. Let's debate about that. Okay? Well, this is Unpacking the Day. You need to stay informed, you know, stay critical as well. And, well, you stay Namibian as well, you know, focus. All right, so do you feel this 270 billion economy? Do you feel it in your pocket? Let's talk about that. 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and engage me and engage our listeners here at Eagle FM. All right. So, and if you don't come through, I will definitely go to the our second topic, our second discussion, you know. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely, absolutely right. 34 minutes past 9. And yeah, we still a couple of time. We still a couple of minutes before we come to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day today. Yeah, so, yeah, welcome, welcome, and a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome. So we still have another story to look at, and stay tuned in to Unpacking the Day. So, now, last night, I was following this story from BBC about the IMF World Economic Outlook Report. The International Monetary Fund, the IMF, is telling us that if the war between the US and Israel on one side and Iran on the other side does not stop soon, the entire global economy could slide into a recession. Of course, we know, of course, the reasons why it's quite clear. It's quite clear. For over 6 weeks now, this conflict has effectively closed the Strait of Hormuz. That is a narrow waterway between Iran and Oman. And it is the single most important oil shipping road on earth. That Strait of Hormuz is the most important oil shipping route on earth. You know, roughly one-fifth of all the oil the world consumes passes through that strait every single day. That's how massive that is. So, and now think of this, okay? If it was in Namibia, if someone would put, if the main road between Windhoek and Wavish Bay, you know, suddenly blocked, You know, nothing coming from Wabash Bay, nothing goes there. You know, no truck, no good, no fuel distribution, you know, coming from Wabash Bay, where we have, you know, our facilities, you know. So that's, now multiply that by 1,000, you know, 1,000. That's what's happening at the global scale. And to make matter worse, peace talks between, you know, the U.S. and Iran have failed. There was an attempt actually to, you know, maybe to open and have a ceasefire and all that. It has failed. So they're trying again, you know, for Tuesday, I think next week. And there's no diplomatic solution in sight so far. As I said, there is some kind of speculation for Tuesday again next week or so, resuming that. So now, in its World Economic Outlook, the IMF laid out a worst case scenario that should make everyone, really everyone in the world, you know, pay attention. If oil and oil, gas, food prices stay higher through this year and next, global growth could fall below 2% in 2026. That's what they say. It could actually fall below 2% in 2026. Now, that might sound like a small number, but the IMF says anything below 2% is a close call for a global recession. Anything that comes close to that, you know, it's a close call for recession, for global recession. And that has happened. That has happened only 4 times since 1980. Yeah? It only happened 4 times since 1980. The most recent one was during COVID, when the whole world practically was shut down. That is how serious this is. This is how serious also this is. So. And, well, what they say is that under the most severe condition, oil could actually hit $125 a barrel next year, pushing global inflation to 6%. Now, if that happened, actually central banks would then force to raise interest rates, you know, borrowing becoming more expensive, for governments, you know, even for individuals, whether you go to the banks, you know, businesses slow down, people lost job, economies decline, you know. So, and the IMF, in their own words, I think I paraphrased this, where the global economy is once again, you know, they said that the global economy is once again threatened with being thrown off course. That means that we have been on course, now we're being thrown off course, and this time by the war in the Middle East. So, and the IMF chief economist even compare the damage to oil crisis of the 1970s. Okay, in the 1970s, when Arab, you remember, there were these Arab oil producers embargoed. So they embargoed the U.S. during the Yom Kippur War. So, yeah, the oil prices actually at that time, you know, quadrupled then. It quadrupled back then. And the IMF say the impact of just 6 weeks of the Iran conflict is already comparable to that. All right, it's already comparable to that.
All right,
I missed you. I didn't get you. You may come back. 0833-66091. Yeah, what do you have, Penny? All right, 0833-66091. I missed your call. All right. So the one small note of hope, though, is that the world is now Because it, as I said, the price quadrupled back then. And I think one small note of hope is that the world today is less dependent on oil, okay? It's less dependent on oil than it was 50 years ago. So with more, we have more renewable energy, electric vehicles, and so on. So, but also, I mean, but it's also that, but less severe does not mean painless, okay? It doesn't mean it is actually painless. Not for a country like Namibia. So we still actually be affected by that. So maybe the question we should ask, it's really what does it mean for us? Okay, what all this mean for us? Because you know it's not just about, you know, stories 100 or 1,000 kilometers away, but what does this mean for us here in Namibia? So one thing that's very important, and this is one thing that you should always have in your mind, okay? Really, is that we are an import-dependent economy. Eh? We are an import-dependent economy. We import everything. Eh? We import everything. We import fuel. We import food. We import machinery. We import building materials. We import everything. Eh? We even import toothpicks. No, seriously, it may sound like a joke. We even import toothpicks. Toothpicks, for God's sake. Eh? We import those. So look at it. It might be made in China. Toothpicks. Eh? So that's how we are. So you, this, and this is shouldn't, I don't know why that doesn't worry many of our policymakers and maybe politicians or something. We are import-dependent economy. Eh? So when a global oil, you know, like we have seen already, when global oil prices goes up, the cost of shipping of those goods that we import, eh, they goes up. Eh? Your petrol at the pump goes up, like what we have seen recently. Your tax fare goes up. Luckily enough, because of sub-government subsidies, no, that hasn't happened yet. You know, the truck driver, you know, transporting good from, let's say, from Wavishbay to Katutura, you know, to Swakop, to Hob, to Gobabis, to Katima, pays more. Now they pays more because of the petrol has gone up, the fuel has gone up. So those costs get passed to you. You know, they get passed to you. Yeah? And when they get passed to you, the bread goes up. The maize meal goes up. The cooking oil goes up. Everything goes up. Do you know what it doesn't go up? Can you guess what it doesn't go up? Yeah? Do you know what it doesn't go up? Your salary stays the same. Everything else goes up, but your salary, you know, stays the same. Yeah, that's a fact. So if your salary goes up based on inflation, you know, good for you, good for you, you know, and good for your company that does that. Yeah, so used to do that at one point. You know. All right. The IMF, a chief economist, warned that a prolonged conflict would lead to a spiral inflation, you know, higher unemployment, food insecurity in some countries. And given what happened to us last 2024, 2025, you know, the drought, you know, and sometimes we don't seem to learn, you know. And thank God our international friend come to our aid. The government did a lot as well in terms of, you know, a food program, relief food program, food relief or something. Yeah. So, and he did not name Namibia, of course, but he didn't name Namibia specifically, but we don't need him to. So we don't need him to. We know our situation in Namibia. We know unemployment is already a challenge here. So we know the cost of living has been climbing for years. So he doesn't need necessarily to mention us, but we know what is going on here. All right? So when a global interest rate goes up, our debt repayment also goes up. Those are issues, my dear. I'm glad I'm not a finance minister. I'm not a president, because, you know, there are issues that also are not in our control. You know, so when a global inflation rises, you know, our bank, for example, our central bank has also to follow suit. Yeah. Well, when you look at the biggest country, the countries that have, you know, the developed country, they have umbrellas, they have safety net. You know, we don't. Yeah. We do not compare to those ones. So now ask yourself really, that if a global oil price hit $125 a barrel, what does that mean? What would that mean actually for a family already struggling to put food on the table? Eh? What would that mean? Because the prices would just go up and up. And remember, I said there's one thing that's remained constant. Or for some people, even you lost it, you know. So what is our government doing to prepare? Are we accelerating? Because there is opportunity here. Are we accelerating our renewable energy plans? Maybe this is where now we need to accelerate our green hydrogen and renewable energy plans. This is an opportunity, something that, you know, it's a favorite way that Uncle Bwana put this, you know, opportunities, and maybe we need to grab this renewable energy plants that we have. This is an opportunity. And sometimes when you ask, these are not really, you know, these are not something that are obstruct left to, you know, to the intellectuals of this world. No. So they are about your next grocery trip, my friend. Your next grocery trip and your children's school fees. This is basically what it is. Yeah. That's what it is, man. That's what it is. So, all right, 08-08-666-091, you are also welcome to come through and have a chat with me. Talk to me. Come and talk to me. So now, in every crisis, there is a winner. There is a winner and there is a loser. When I was listening yesterday, the IMF report spelled this out clearly among advanced economies, like, for example, because of what BBC, the UK is hardest hit as well, you know, with growth cut to just 0.8%, you know. So they feel the pinch. They also feel the pinch. But in a conflict zone itself, the number are devastating. You know, Iran economy will shrink definitely by over 6%. You know, what they said. The other thing is that Qatar's economy is also forecast to contract, to decline by 8.6% after its massive, the LNG refinery was struck by missiles. And Iran faces a 6.8%, you know, slowdown also. So in the conflict zone is itself that it, you know, as I said, the numbers actually devastating. So the entire economies are going into reverse. Everything is going into reverse. And so it's something that we as a country, there are also things that we need to do to be resilient to this kind of global shock. But there is a country. One thing that was interesting what they were saying is that the Saudi Arabia tells a different story. So it looks like Saudi Arabia was then tells a different story. They have the apparently they have the east-west pipeline. Okay, the east-west pipeline running from the Persian Gulf to the Red Sea, you know, and bypassing this, they're bypassing now the Strait of Hormuz entirely. Now that it can pump seven million barrel a day. So that backup plan is why Saudi Arabia growth is expected at 3.1% this year. So that's a backup plan, you know, for Saudi Arabia. So, and then there is Russia. Okay, that's also Russia, the country under sanction for how many years now? Yeah, for 4 years. Whose economy is now expected to grow, because it's expected to grow because the higher oil prices mean more revenue for them. You understand? And the U.S. even temporarily lifted sanction on Russia. They lifted a sanction on Russia and Iran, in Iranian oil, because the world desperately need the supply. Yeah. So can you imagine, you know, can you imagine the same country fighting the war needed the enemy's oil to keep flowing? Yeah. So that tells you everything, really. That tells you everything about the real priorities of global politics. Seriously, it's all about oils, okay? Now, I want to push you a little bit deeper because there are painful truths here, okay? You know, the world addiction to oil is what got us here. It's what got us in this mess. Addiction to oil is actually what get us in this mess. And here in Namibia, we talk a lot about green energy, you know. We talk about a lot of green energy. It has been 4 years we have been talking about this, about solar, about green hydrogen, you know. But talking is not the same. The talking is not the same as doing. We're still waiting for any production at the industrial scale. We're still waiting for that. There are some production on a very small scale, but not on an industrial scale. Well, according to my understanding. And the problem is, while we talk, given what is happening now, you know, while we talk, ordinary Namibians are paying the price at the pump, at the station, and at supermarket, you know. We're paying the price. While we're just talking. Tokela, like a Chinese would say. You tokela. Yeah. So the same, you know, wealthy countries that actually lectures about reducing carbon emission are scrambling now to keep oil flowing. These are the ones. You see the hypocrisy. They are the ones who are teaching us, you know, lecturing us, you know, reduce carbon emission and what. Now they're scrambling to keep oil flowing. The same one that promised the climate finance to Africa are spending billion on military operations. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. Como está?
Obrigado. E tu, Ali?
Estou fixe.
make me laugh when you're talking about it.
I remember one Chinese, I was actually went into his shop and I was asking something, but why do you do that? You tokela, you know? Apparently I'm talking too much. I just tokela.
Yeah, it's true. That's what they do. I just wanted to add it to the you know, the sport issues we have in our country.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, what if maybe, like, Namibian Breweries and Coca-Cola come up with a, not support, but they can support if they want. But they must also
They should not actually come up. They should be forced. You know, there must be a law that may them do that.
But my idea is, like, what if Coca-Cola create a team, you know, like other countries have, like, you know, Coca-Cola is having a team, Namibia is having a team, and these big companies, you know, by doing so, you also create a good players, because they will be well paid, and they will be well organized, because they have everything. The transport is there. There's no way you say, I don't need money.
But you have you will have a skew kind of structure where you have only one team. Like, let's say, for example, this or one or two teams that they will win. They will win every, you know, every the league every year.
Yeah.
So now the money of the league, it goes to someone who have money already, and the team, those team, they will left behind slowly. You will be like in another country where you have only one team that is so strong, like a PSG maybe in France, you know.
So that's
what you were creating. What we want is the big companies actually investing in sport, in millions, not just about 100,000 or something like that, in millions. You know, so that's what we want. And then it become more competitive because there's money. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you give it to one, you know, from that kind of way, it won't help. You will only have a team that winning all the time, and the money goes to them.
But there will be competition. There will be company who will be serious, who want to buy players and do kind of things. But the other issue is, like, what is...
But the other thing, before you go on, but the other thing is also that, I'm saying that this company should actually invest in sport. It's also that we must also show that they would be retained in what they're investing, because this is about business. It's not just about put money into when they to give for charity, you know? You understand? So we also must indicate that they will be retained for them, you know, for this business.
And the other thing is, I think all the companies should also contribute, but the most of, like, the Minister of Sport and Youth or whatever, should also play awareness, you know, bring campaigns for them to be up to date. Like, let me say, how to understand the player of the year. For example, a player of the year, this guy is winning 10,000. What's 10,000?
Yeah, exactly.
Irritating, because, you know, if my son was playing football, did not win this year, I want to mind for him to play for next year, for him to win, because I know there's no money.
Yeah. The 10,000 is the money that he actually won in a village tournament.
They should put more money for us to be for our kids to be like attracted to that system. Look what happened to this black American who went to the first black American who went to the moon. Now, when he comes back, like, they are saying, not about for him to reach the moon, it's about a black person. How will that thing play to the mind of the black person today, to say, okay, if this guy can go to the moon, what about me? So that's what we want.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, all right, okay, man. Okay. So, no, it's a time. Okay. Thanks for coming through, yeah?
Oh, thank you.
Have a great one. Yeah. All right, so just to round off what we were just talking about now, the Iran conflict is not just a regional war; it's a global economic crisis, you know. And the Strait of Hormuz closure has disrupted a fifth of the world oil supply, and peace talks, that was actually going on, hasn't really yielded something substantial. So there's still ways to, they're still also looking at way how they, you know, they can resume that again. So, but the IMF warned global growth could fall below 2% and dangerously then close to recession. That would be dangerously close to recession. So oil could hit $125 a barrel. So, and inflation could also reach, you know, 6% globally, you know. So, yeah, those are some of the issues. And for Namibia, the impact would be severe, definitely. I mean, we see that already. We're feeling that already. You know, higher transport costs, higher food prescription, you know, no pressure. More pressure on struggling households. You know, we are import dependent, and that's something I'm saying. We are import dependent, you know, and we do not have the buffer sometimes to absorb a global shock. Eh? We don't. And not only us, many African countries, you know, fall in the same, you know, in the same hole. Yeah. So we are import dependent economy. And that make us vulnerable. That make us vulnerable. And this should be our wake up call. I think for us as a country, for me as well, I'm thinking, okay, well then why don't we accelerate our energy transition? You know, why then we don't diversify the economy? We're talking about it, but we don't see anything being done. Build strategy reserves, maybe. Stop talking about resilient and start actually building it. Because the next shock, and it will come, eh? They always does. If it's not drought, if not a disease, if not, they will always come. they always does. So if the conflict ends soon, so the world can still avoid actually a recession, according to IMF, but the window is closing. They say the window is closing, and every week that the war drags on, the damage actually deepens. Well, thank you for tuning into Unpacking the Day, and we will be following this story as well closely and see. And I want you, you know, well, I can't hear from you anymore. It's almost time, so I will be handing over now to Tade France. Coming up with Kwitha Mosha, and please remain, stay tuned. There's a lot that are coming on that show as well, so make sure that you tune in and you stay tuned. All right, two other programs that are coming your way this morning until probably 1 o'clock. So, all right, it's for me to say ta-ta until tomorrow again. Let's do this again tomorrow from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. For me, Marcos Uvedi, have a pleasant day ahead.